Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with my co-host, Gail Seiler. Hello, Gail.
Hello, Ursula, and hello to you, the listener.
And we hope you are enjoying these last few warm days as much as we are. We're looking at a stretch of warmer weather through the weekend. It should be sunny through next week, with temperatures only dropping slowly towards the end of the week. One of the things I've been discussing with people is this Indian summer or not? Because it hasn't frozen yet. So anyway, no doubt winter is on its way, but for right now, we've had a very pleasant golden weekend ahead of us, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for joining us and listening today with us. Gail explained to me that the different colleges at Iowa State University are being celebrated at various times throughout the year, kind of a newly started tradition at Iowa State University. And this coming week, we will be having Human Sciences Week.
That's right. Human Sciences Week will be starting on Monday from October 12th to the 16th. And the ISU website describes it as celebrating the ISU College of Human Sciences' unique, innovative, people-oriented programs and its rich traditions with food, dance, speakers, and philanthropic events.
Gail, you're a professor at the College of Human Sciences, is that right?
I am. I'm in the School of Education, which is part of the College of Human Sciences.
So we'll hear more on that later in the show.
Okay. Right now in the studio, we have with us Dr. Pamela White, the Dean of the College of Sciences. Thank you for being here, Dean White. And I have to say that since I'm in the College of Human Sciences, it's exciting to have people from my college here, to have my dean here and students, as we'll meet in a minute. Because we also have two students with us from the College of Human Sciences, Danielle Bursell and Kelsey Finn. Thanks for being here as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Dean White, let's start with you. Last year, when I first came to ISU, I was intrigued by the name, the College of Human Sciences. It seemed like it could encompass a lot of things, and I've learned that it does encompass a lot. Can you tell the listener what departments and schools make up the College of Human Sciences?
Oh, absolutely. The College of Human Sciences, when I talk about this, I always like to say we have four large departments and one even larger school. So our departments in the College of Human Sciences include Human Development and Family Studies, Apparel Events and Hospitality Management, Kinesiology, Food Science and Human Nutrition, and that is a department we administratively share with the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. And then, of course, we have your unit, the School of Education. Those are our five large units in the College of Human Sciences.
And how did that collection of entities come together? Is there an interesting history behind that?
Oh, there's always a great history. All the programs in the College of Human Sciences have actually been here since the very beginning of Iowa State University. In fact, our first president, Adonijah Welsh, was himself a pedagogian. And so he was essentially teaching teachers at that time. And in fact, Iowa State University is credited with being the very first university to have a four-year program in teacher education. Similarly, Adonijah Welsh's wife, Mary B. Welsh, began domestic science programs for women in those days, and we are credited with being the very first public institution to have a college degree for women in domestic science. And so, of course, that has evolved. It is not a women's group area anymore. It is for anyone. And that has evolved into many different names. Let's fast forward to recent history. In 2005, all those programs existed then as the College of Education and the College of Family and Consumer Sciences. They came together to form then our current College of Human Sciences in 2005. So we now have been together as this formation for 10 years.
For 10 years. And so you are celebrating this year a 10th anniversary.
That would
be birthday.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Dr. White, could you explain what actually each of the colleges teaches or what it focuses on?
Oh, you mean the units within our college?
Yes, what the curriculum actually is.
Okay, sure. Yeah, and so I think you're asking about the units within our college.
Yes, yes.
And so within the School of Education, of course, Gail's going to be able to answer this even better than I am. We have teacher education for elementary students. We have an early childhood education program, which is actually shared with the Department of Human Development and Family Studies. We have many programs in what we call higher education. These would be graduate level programs that are preparing students to work at places like Iowa State University or at community colleges. So we have a very active community college program that prepares administrators for community college. We have a very active group in student affairs. So, for example, at Iowa State, we have 56 of our students in the School of Education who have grad assistantships within the Division of Student Affairs doing things throughout the university. And we have a lot of administrators across Iowa State who have degrees in this higher ed area. We also have a graduate degree in educational administration, so that would be preparing superintendents and principals. So that kind of covers that area. And, of course, a graduate degree is in areas related to educator preparation. You know, move over to Human Development and Family Studies. That's pretty broad in itself. Each of the units has so many different curricula within their areas. So in that area, probably our largest is Child, Adult, and Family Services. We also have a gerontology program. We have financial counseling and planning. And and then Family Consumer Sciences Education. All of that is in that one Department of Human Development and Family Studies.
And Family Consumer Sciences and Education. Mm-hmm. Is that what in the old days they used to call home economics?
They used to be called home ec-ed. That's right.
Uh-huh.
And so that program is now called Family Consumer Sciences Education, and it's actually contained within the Human Development and Family Studies Department.
What is actually taught?
The goal of the students who are in Family Consumer Sciences Education is to get a degree where they then go out and teach Family Consumer Sciences Education classes to our various high schools. And I'm coming at it from the end result here. It is mandated in the state of Iowa that those courses are taught in high schools. So we have a high need for people in that area. What they would teach or what they take when they're at Iowa State University would be a variety of different courses in areas such as family management, financial management, nutrition, just a variety of courses that would really be from all across the college. Okay. Then moving to other departments, apparel, events, and hospitality management. For apparel, that would be people going into fashion merchandising or fashion design. Hospitality management, maybe that is self-explanatory. A lot of people going into tourism, to hotels,
restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Even golf course management, and then event management, which the first thing people think about is being a bridal planner. That is one small component of what one would do with a degree in event management. There are event management people who are needed in almost every business, everything you can think of. Think of all the events we plan. We need people who actually have all the background, who understand the finances, the planning, the training, et cetera. Then kinesiology, that's actually our largest major and one of the largest at Iowa State. That has over 1,400 undergraduate students. Students in kinesiology, about half of them are in what we call our pre-health program. And the pre-health program prepares the students to go on to medical school, which could be as a physician assistant or as a doctor, or a lot of them, because they're interested in the athletic component, are interested in being in physical training, so PT. And they can also choose to be in physical education, community education, or exercise physiology. Those are the choices there. Then our program in food science and human nutrition, which I said we share administratively with the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, includes degrees in food science, culinary science, nutrition science, and dietetics. And just to kind of go back over all the programs, all the departments have master's and PhD degrees as well.
There's a lot going on. Do you got all that?
Yeah.
So Next week is the Human Sciences Week, or the kind of like an open house week for the College of Human Sciences. And is this the first time that this has happened?
Absolutely. And we're very excited to have our inaugural Human Sciences Week. Let me tell you a little bit about how that started. I have a student sciences student council, and a couple of years ago, the students had come to me saying, you know, other colleges, not all, but a few other colleges at Iowa State have a week for their college. Why can't we have one too? And I said, there's no reason why we can't. Let's do it. And so we got staff and students together, did a lot of planning last year, and now here it is. We're about to start on our inaugural Human Sciences Week on Monday.
You mentioned that several of your departments were really the first in the country. Is this because we were a land-grant college that these departments got built up so early?
Absolutely. You see units like ours at land-grants, at public land-grant universities. And since Iowa State University was one of the first, and of course the first to sign the Morrill Act, I believe that's one of the reasons we have been, leaders and also some of the initial holders of those programs.
Uh-huh. So we're really talking about a tradition here.
Absolutely.
So it's a nice thing to be celebrating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so the purpose is to let people know about kind of all that's going on. And
well, we were careful about our purpose because we didn't want it to get too diluted. We want it to be a celebration, and we want it to be a celebration for our students. That's really what the week is about, okay. Our students, our faculty, our staff. So as I tell everybody, we're having a big party, and we we're inviting people across campus to come and enjoy with us. And if people from the community want to come in, we're delighted to have you join us as well.
Okay. Then let's hear about some of those things that are going on. And maybe we'll turn to Danielle and Kelsey to tell us about some of the events that they're looking forward to or they've been involved in planning. So whichever of you wants to go first.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. This is Kelsey. We are some of the exec members for the Human Sciences Council, and we've been having a blast planning this week alongside with our advisors and the other exec members and the club members for this council. We've been deep in planning for a while, so I'll just touch on a couple of the things I've been working on. My bigger event was the information fair on Wednesday. So it'll be a display of all of the clubs that were interested in having a booth, and they're going to be displaying what their club has to offer. So we have clubs that range from kinesiology to hospitality management to family and consumer education to adoption club. And so we have a wide range of clubs, and they all want to come and display what their club does. And some of them are going to do giveaways and that type of thing. So that'll be really awesome. That'll be on Wednesday. Alongside with that, at the same time, we're going to be having Hickory Park sponsoring a meal. And to get the meal, we're asking that people bring books or canned food item so that we can donate those items and give it away to a good cause. So that's
and if people bring something, they get lunch.
Yes. Yep. Hickory Park, yep. Even better. Yeah. So definitely. So that's all happening around 11:30 on the South Lawn of McKay. So we invite anyone and everyone to that event, and that'll be a really awesome event. And then along with that event, we have our United Way fundraiser, Pie in the Face, which is a huge fundraiser college-wide. And we've been working on collecting money for that for a couple weeks. And we've had a lot of competition within different departments that Dean White had mentioned earlier. Those departments have been competing. Within each department, we've had advisors versus students competing. And our whole college is also competing against a hefty goal to pie Dean White in the face. So we're hoping we can pull through with that goal.
So what is the competition?
We're competing to try and raise money and...
Oh, you're just competing about who raises the most money?
Correct. Yeah, we have jars throughout, and you can donate money to who you would like to see get pied in the face on this Wednesday event.
So that's the motivation behind the people donating money.
Yep, and all proceeds go to United Way.
So different people are proposing different people that get pie in the face?
Yes. Right.
Each unit has selected someone who is their representative.
Yes.
Okay.
But then the grand prize is Dean White, if enough money is raised, too. That's the highest
That's the overall goal.
That's the highest quota.
I'm really not sure how I feel about this.
did you know about this?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we're excited.
Well, you're describing all these different exhibits in a way. In the classrooms, or where are the exhibits, really?
Yep, they're all going to be... We have McKay, which is our college building, and then there's a big lawn outdoors, and so we're going to be having a big display outdoors on the grassland outside of McKay. And so any clubs that were interested in exhibiting what they have to offer have let us know, and we're going to set up booths for them, and so that'll be all throughout the South Lawn. And I can pass it over to Danielle.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, Kelsey. On Thursday, October 15th, to celebrate our 10 years as being College of Human Sciences, we're going to have a cake-cutting event in celebration with some VIP servers such as the Dean's Council and Student Sensations. Be sure not to miss that from 3 to 4 p.m. on Thursday.
And Student Sensations are?
There's 15 throughout the College of Human Sciences, and they are nominated based on well-rounded students that are there to represent our college in a positive way, and they're seen throughout events on campus, and they help out and make a positive impact. So they will be serving at the cake celebration.
Okay.
So don't.
That's Thursday.
Yes.
Okay.
And on Friday, we have our food and fun fest. So clubs are getting together, and there's going to be the cherry pies will be there, and there's a limited quantity, so make sure to come early. That's from 11:30 to 1:30 on Friday. And fudge is going to be sold, mini donuts. And, again, clubs are going to be there handing out cookies, giving information on exactly what they do. And
okay. The the last department you spoke of is the one who's been responsible for the cherry pies, which department?
That's Apparel, Events, and Hospitality Management.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Sitting in the corner, eating his cherry pie. I didn't put in a thumb, I didn't pull out a plum. I guess I am not as great as he. Whoa, whoa, give me, na na na, give me some. Na 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 na, give me, na na na, give me some. Na 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 na. Give me, na na na, give me some cherry, cherry pie. Na 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 na, whoa, whoa, na na na, na na na, cherry pie. Na na na, na na na, cherry pie. Na.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts today with Gail Seiler. In former times, cherry pie was given out at the College of Human Sciences during Visha, a favorite of the festival at Visha, and we'll be seeing them again now during Human Sciences Week on October 12th through 16th. We've been speaking with Pamela White, the Dean of College of Human Sciences, and two students at the college, and Gail, who is also...
Right.
In the
also
College of Human Sciences.
The School of Ed, right. So let's hear a little more. I think there are a few things we haven't talked about yet. Some of the activities are celebratory, but then there's also some community service and philanthropic things.
So the week we also have had a few focuses on philanthropic events. Aside from the United Way fundraiser, we also have a community service type project that is happening on Thursday from 5 to 7, and it's the mac and cheese packing. So students will come and volunteer their time to help pack mac and cheese for a lofty goal of 12,000 meals, and these will be distributed throughout the Story County area. And we're really excited to have a bunch of students come together and pack food for individuals in need.
And the recipe was developed in...
Right. Actually, the recipe for this was fine-tuned and developed with the help of our food science faculty and students. So it's extra special for us to be able to now pack some of these to be able to provide for those in need.
And there's some lectures going on. Do you want to tell us about some of those?
Yes. On Tuesday, October 13th, from 3:40 to 4:30, Sarah Brown Westling, who happens to be an ISU graduate and the 2010 National Teacher of the Year, will be coming to speak in Lago Marcino. And there will be, following that, a meet and greet with her also.
The National Teacher of the Year. That's pretty impressive. An ISU graduate, and she teaches here in Iowa. Now.
Yes, she does. Yes, in the Des Moines area.
Okay. All right.
We mentioned earlier that Gail herself is a professor in the College of Human Sciences in the School of Education. Gail, how are you involved with Human Sciences Week? What are you doing?
Well, I've been involved in helping to plan for two events that I'll tell you about. The group of faculty in the School of Ed, we call ourselves the Social Justice Collective, have been working on planning one of the other guest lectures. Dr. Lee Patel from Boston College is coming, and her talk is called Learning with Migrant Youth, Mirrors and Manifestos, and that will be in LeBaron Hall Auditorium on Monday at 5:30, and I think will be a very interesting talk. And then the other thing we've helped to organize is a book drive that's going on all week long, and many students are involved in volunteering to help with this book drive. And the purpose is to provide books to raising readers in Story County, and they've assembled a list of books that they requested. People can donate any books, but in particular, there are books that they would like to have to use with their readers. And there are multiple ways people can contribute. We've distributed that book list, and people can order online and have it sent to Raising Readers. Or they can buy the books and bring them to one of our book drive tables, which are in various places around the college all week long. Or they can stop by one of those tables and use the laptop right there to purchase books. So there are lots of ways people can contribute. And KHOI has a connection to Raising Readers in Story County. We've had some of the young readers on this show, Talk. Over the past year, I remember last fall, a number of them came into the studio, recorded book reviews that they had prepared on their favorite books, and it was very cute, from the youngest up to, you know, like 12-year-olds and so on, recorded their book reviews, and then we played them on Local Talk one morning. So we have a particular connection to Raising Readers.
You mentioned that you've distributed the wish list of books.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody listening to this radio show wants to see that list, is it available?
It's available on the college website, the website that lists all of these events going on for Human Sciences Week. But we can put a link to that website on the KHOI website, so that'll be there.
Great.
So
mm-hmm.
people can link to that and see information on the events and also get information on the books that are requested. There's a link to the list if people want to check that out.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, have we missed anything about what's going on that needs to be mentioned before we let you guys go?
We also just want to let you know that you can look at our Human Sciences webpage at iastate.edu, click on College of Human Sciences, and then you can see a really nice display of all the events that are happening Monday through Friday next week and attend which ones you guys are interested in. So that's there.
And also learn a lot about the College of Human Sciences and all the kinds of things that they're involved in. We haven't mentioned Extension and Outreach because they've been involved in this too, and there's a close affiliation between many of the units in the college with Extension and Outreach.
Absolutely. Extension and Outreach is embedded in all our units, and even just recently, we were able to place some formal appointments of individuals with formal extension appointments in our School of Education, which was a unique approach to making that happen. But Extension and Outreach is a very important component of our college in particular because of the people approach and the interactions with community. So, yes, they're also a very important part of our college and of this week.
Okay. So if any of these things sound interesting, check out the link, check out the College of Human Sciences website, learn what's going on.
And maybe just mention that lots of things that we didn't have time to talk about today are listed on the website. We only talked about a couple of lectures. There's actually four public lectures of broad interest to people. We hope you'll attend those and hope to see you there.
Okay. Dean White and Danielle and Kelsey, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you guys.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with Gail Seiler. And we couldn't resist playing Happy Birthday. It is kind of a birthday of sorts for Iowa State's College of Human Sciences. But we also couldn't resist to playing the song because on September 22nd, a federal judge ruled invalid the copyright that was being enforced by Warner Chapel Music, the music publishing company that has earned about $2 million a year in royalties on the song Happy Birthday. In the case that Chapel Warner just lost, the question is now whether they must return all the money that's been collected through the years for licensing the song. The music to Happy Birthday to You was written in the late 19th century by two sisters who called their version of the song Good Morning to All. The song later evolved into the version popular today and was copyrighted by the sisters' publisher. And the publisher and the rights to the song were eventually purchased by Warner Chapel for $25 million in the 1980s. A group of artists challenged the Warner Chapel ownership and said over the summer that they had proof that the song belonged in the public domain. They said a songbook from 1922 includes the song, predating its 1935 copyright. So for people in media, this was an interesting case. Everybody was watching it closely. On Tuesday, September 22nd, Judge George H. King, the chief U.S. District Judge for the Central District of California, agreed that the song does not have a copyright, and he ruled that the song, arguably the most famous song in the English language, is now in the public domain. And that version was by Johnny May.
Okay. So speaking of art and artwork, we've been joined by a number of artists right here in the studio.
Yes, they're here to talk about the Ames Area Studio Tour. The tour is organized by Ames Community Arts Council, or ACAC. And Rhonda Scott is here. She's the director of ACAC. Welcome, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Why don't you explain the tour? What is going to happen?
Well, it's very exciting for us. On this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, there will be 17 studios around the greater Ames area that will be open to the public. So anyone can stop in and see how the creative work is done in those studios. So you don't need a ticket. You don't need to start in any certain place. You can visit one studio. You can go to all 17. Stay as long as you want. I think one of the really neat things about a studio tour, it's different from something like an art festival, is that you get to actually be where the creative work is done, and you see the tools that someone uses. You see more about their process. A lot of the artists are going to be doing demonstrations and have things to share with the visitors about their work. And so I feel like it is a more personal connection to the art that's done, and being able to hear the stories behind the art is really an incredible experience.
So these studios are primarily of individual artists, or are they also commercial studios?
They are both, actually. So we have some individual artists, and then also places like Creative Artist Studio of Ames, CASA, which is a nonprofit organization that has a number of artists who have studios in that space. Also, the workspace in the Memorial Union is part of the tour. And very exciting for me, KHOI is on the tour.
That's right. We are.
And I'm really excited about that part of it, because the Ames Community Arts Council has so many different members. It's a very diverse organization, and we define the arts broadly. So it's exciting to me that the studio tour can be nearly as diverse as our organization.
Describe a little bit, what is the Ames Community Arts Council and what do you do?
The Arts Council is a nonprofit that started back in 1976, and our mission is to celebrate the arts. We have a lot of different kind of members. Anyone can be a member, whether you're a supporter of the arts, whether you're an individual artist, nonprofit organization, or a business. And one of the main things that we are trying to do is just promote the arts and get people involved. We really believe in community building and helping artists succeed.
Describe a little bit the art scene in this area. What kind of people live and work in the area that do art?
It's such an exciting, diverse community. We have woodworkers, and we have a glass blower in the area. Both of those people are on the studio tour, Art Zaccotti and Brandon Zimmerman. We have a large group of musicians in the area that are very active, and poets and writers.
Ames Community Arts Council really doesn't just cover visual arts.
Exactly.
It covers all people that practice art in all the different forms.
Right. Right, mm-hmm. Including movement, dance, storytelling, so many different art forms. And it's exciting to have the opportunity to be a part of that.
Is ACAC a membership organization?
It is a membership-based uh-huh. organization. We have a new website, so it's pretty easy to get on there and find out more about what that all means. And the website is amesart.org.
You're not a city organization. You're a private nonprofit?
Right. That's mm-hmm. correct. We do get funding from the City of Ames Commission on the Arts, and we're very grateful for that.
Tell us, how did the area tours get started?
A long time ago, back in 2003 or so, there were a group of people who wanted to try a studio tour, and they called it the Lincoln Highway Studio Tour, and there was a committee that worked together. And so there were studios in Slater, Colo, Ames, and Gilbert that were part of that. Over the years, it has sometimes run and sometimes not, because it takes a lot of time and organization to make sure that all of the promotion gets done, because if people don't know about it, no one comes. So we're hoping that we can keep the studio tour going and grow it so that more and more people from, you know, outside of Ames and anywhere in Iowa might want to come and see what our artists are doing.
Who is invited to be on the tours?
We put out a call to artists in this area, and it's juried.
And who is invited to attend the tours?
Everybody. We want everyone to come.
And explain again, how does one take the tour?
All you have to do is look at our maps and find where the participating studios are and get your shoes on and come out. So the maps are on our website at www.amesart.org.
And are they all within, like, walking distance downtown, or are they spread out and will people need car or bicycle or whatever to get to some?
If they wanted to go to all of them, mm-hmm. they would need to have transportation. The farthest one away is we have one in Story City. Molly Nagel is in Story City, and then Art Sakati and Brandon Zimmerman are in Napier, which is officially part of Ames, but...
That's the glass studio.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there are a group in the Campus Town area and West Ames, and then there's also a group downtown. Okay. So if you don't have transportation, you can go to some of the tours, you know, by being able to take a bus downtown, for example, and walk around and see some of the tours. That's nice that it can be open to anyone like that.
Well, we're fortunate to have two of the studio hosts with us here today. Welcome, Dan Marks and Kathy Reinhart.
Good morning.
Morning. Thanks
Hi.
For coming. Hi. Thanks for coming and joining us and giving us a little bit of a preview of two examples of hosts that you can visit on this tour. Barbara Walton was also here earlier, the painter, but she had to go teach at Iowa State.
Yes.
So. Let's find out a little bit about you two. What can we expect when we visit your studio? Why don't we start with you, Catherine?
Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
What is your art?
I'm mostly a fiber artist, although I do a lot of drawings. I have an exhibition just up for another 3 days at Stomping Grounds of a new set of prints and drawings that I've been doing. So if you're on the tour, you can go to Stomping Grounds as well. Give them some press, I guess.
Where is your studio?
It is... a couple blocks away from Banshell Park, just over in this downtown area, East 7th Street, 317 East 7th Street. So,
okay, so are you looking forward to doing this?
I am looking forward to it. It's my first time on the tour. It's my first time on the radio, too, so I'm a little nervous. I will be doing a drawing for... I'm going to be giving away some of my art, so everyone who puts their name... in for my studio updates will also get entered in my drawing, and then I'll be doing lots of demos, including a dyeing demo. So we're doing some dye and resist demos outside, and it should be nice. And
well, you have a great weekend for it.
Yeah, buckets yeah. of dye and fabric. It should be fun.
Uh-huh. You work primarily in fabric, am I understanding that?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. I do lots of different things. I do a lot of free motion embroidery with the sewing machine. I do a lot of surface design and dyeing, which is, I hate to say tie dye. Technically, that's not professionally accurate, but a lot of resists and tying and clamping and pattern generation and mm-hmm. color. I'm interested in color interaction.
How long have you been working professionally as an artist?
Well, I graduated with my MFA in 2012, so mm-hmm. I'm a relatively young artist.
Did you graduate from Iowa State?
My undergrad is at Iowa State in the Integrated Studio Arts Program, printmaking and fiber. And then my MFA I got from the University of Kansas down in Lawrence, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. And how did you end up being a fiber artist in Ames, Iowa?
Well, after I finished grad school, my husband said, I would like to go back to graduate school. And so he decided he's a mechanical engineer. And so he came back to study with one of his older professors from Iowa State. And that's how we landed back in Ames. And I'm loving it.
That's great. And where do you sell your work?
I mostly sell my work online now mm-hmm. via my website. I'm still working on selling work. I have been exhibiting work quite regularly. I just got back from a textile conference in St. Louis this past weekend, which was fantastic.
Catherine, I believe you got an award there, didn't you?
I did get an award. Thanks, Rhonda. Yes.
What was the award for?
The award was the Surface Design Association's Emerging Voices Award.
So that's a recognition of young artists or up-and-coming artists.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. the Surface Design Association is an organization that promotes textile work in its various multiple forms, and so they're a great, great organization.
What did you win the award for?
I had two pieces in this fiber show that had about 40 artists regionally from Missouri and the surrounding touching states. The juror has seen my work in a few places, so mm-hmm. I think that that's why I received the award.
Okay, so you're going to be showing some of your fiber work in the studio,
mm-hmm.
and in the studio we would also see the tools you use?
Yes.
And you're going to be demonstrating some of that in the front yard?
Yeah.
Do you usually do your dyeing in the front yard?
Well, I usually do it in the basement,
uh-huh.
which is where my studio is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a nice day that I'll do it outside.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you
so much. And why do this tour as an artist?
Well, Rhonda asked me to do this tour. I've been blessed to know her, and I decided to just take a chance, I guess. It's always kind of nervous asking someone to come into your studio.
Yes, but it is. It is. It's a very personal space, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good to have people there. It's a good process, so.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for telling us about your work. That was Catherine Reinhardt, and she's one of the people who will be part of the Ames Area Tour, which will be happening on Saturday from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., and on Sunday from noon until 4 p.m. And it's a tour where you can visit various artists in the area, and there's a map that's provided by the Ames Community Arts Council, who are the people organizing the tour. We have another artist with us in the studio, Dan Marks. Welcome, Dan.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us as well. Tell us a little bit about what's happening in your studio.
I'm a painter. I'm really excited to paint small towns and landscapes. I'm working on one now in Woodward, Iowa. Just really like the tranquility of small towns, and I really like to try to express that in my paintings.
When you paint the small towns, are you treating them as landscape paintings, or are they figurative paintings with human, human
events? Usually landscape. I don't really like to put people in it. I like to feel like you're there by yourself, and you're experiencing it yourself, and you're part of the piece.
So you're painting primarily the buildings in the different towns?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This one is, I've never done a painting of dusk before, so it's kind of nice. The sun is setting and the streetlights are on, but there's still some light available, so it's really exciting. Rhonda got to see the piece yesterday, but I'm excited about the piece.
You actually paint on location?
I have done it a few times. I usually work from photographs. It's mm-hmm. a lot easier. You have to deal with elements and weather and bugs and... There's certain times of day you have to see the lighting is in a certain place, and it's harder to paint on location, but mm-hmm. I have gotten fortunate enough to do it a few times, and there's nothing like painting on location, but it's better to do from photographs.
So when you go to a town like that and you do paint on location, do you create a lot of attention for yourself?
Usually I do those when we go camping, the ones I do on location, because people will stop and ask questions and things.
Yeah, it gets hard to paint.
Yeah, I prefer to paint solo.
Yeah, not as performance.
Right.
So how do you scope out a town?
We just drive as far as we can go and get back the same day, and I take a lot of photographs of places. I've got thousands of pictures of things I'd like to paint someday, but mm-hmm. so I find some that just the lighting captures me just a certain way. I really like shadows a lot, and just that's usually what I go by as far as what intrigues me to paint it. So,
do you like Edward Hopper's Nighthawks painting?
I sort of do. Yeah, I do like some of Edward Hopper's. He's not uh-huh. one of my favorites, but... I do know the painting studio, yes.
Well, it would be interesting to see your work. Will you have some of it at the studio?
Yes, I'll have – my house is kind of our studio, so.
Mm-hmm. There's paintings on the wall.
There's paintings everywhere.
Uh-huh. Are these oil paintings or acrylic paintings?
I work in acrylic on canvas.
And are the paintings generally large or small in size?
Large. This one is 4 feet by 3 feet that I'm working at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Will you actually be working on the painting during the studio tour, or will you be more showing people?
I'll probably be showing. I don't know if I'll have time to work on it as mm-hmm. well. I don't mm-hmm. know how many people are coming, but mm-hmm. the more the merrier.
Good. So why are you doing this?
It's exciting. I think it's good to get my work out there and meet people that haven't actually met me before, and like I sell through Octagon and other places as well, and I've not met some of the people. I mean, I've met a few people during the Arc Festival this past 2 weeks ago. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I met people that said they bought pieces from me and they like my work. So that's.
Are you from the area yourself?
We've lived here for 10 years.
Uh huh.
So.
And how long have you been working professionally as a painter?
Over 25 years.
Okay, so you're not as much as an up and coming artist.
No,
you're more established.
Yeah.
Uh huh. And where do you normally sell your work?
Octagon, art festivals.
Mm-hmm.
I have a show in Columbia, Missouri this next spring, which I'm excited about again, and that's a really good gallery.
Have you been a member of ACAC for a while? It's very nice to have you here.
Thanks,
Rhonda. Is there anything else that we should let people know about the tour? I guess let me talk for a minute about KHOI since we are on the tour.
Yes,
too.
Please do.
Various radio hosts will be here during the tour hours, and they will give you a guided tour of our broadcast studios, and they will invite you to record a station identification for the station while you're here, which is what the thing that we say at the top of every hour, this is KHOI. That's the identification the government requires us to do, but it's a lot more fun when we have community voices doing it. So we'll ask you to do that if you feel like it, and you can add your own personal message to the ID if you wish. Most people really enjoy doing IDs. This is a little bit of a different interpretation of the studio tours, isn't it, Rhonda? But these are definitely studios that
yes.
we have here, and our radio producers and hosts are definitely working artists. So we're excited to represent this broadcast and communication arts in the studio. And so please stop by and look around and meet some of the wonderful people who do hone their craft here. And we are at 410 Douglas in downtown Ames. So come on by. We're a storefront, so we're easy to walk into and look around. Rhonda, why did you invite KHOI to apply?
You know, there are a number of studio tours around the Midwest, and I think that what makes this one different is that we are working to try to keep the definition of arts broader. And because I am a very inclusive kind of person, I think it's important. I really believe in community and in building community. And when I think about that, KHOI is one of the places that I think of. KHOI is really about building community. And it's full of people who are very passionate and very dedicated and very talented.
Yeah.
And so to me, it was kind of a no-brainer to think about the arts in a broader way for the studio tour. Why wouldn't we do that, since that's what we're trying to do with our organization and trying to give people more of a voice or a way to reach people that they maybe wouldn't reach otherwise. So I'm just really pleased that KHOI is on the tour, and I hope that next year we can get other people too. Maybe we would get a dance studio or a music recording studio too. That would be my hope, that it keeps getting more diverse.
Well, thank you for acknowledging the art that is involved with doing radio. And we've been listening to Local Talk here on KHOI Community Radio. And I am Ursula Rudenberg, your host, with Gail Seiler, who's been politely listening to all this for the last few minutes. And we've been speaking with folks about the Ames Area Arts Tour, which is organized by the Ames Community Arts Council and will be happening on Saturday, October 10th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Sunday, October 11th from noon to 4 p.m. And you can get information about it and a map at amesart.org. And we'll also post a link to that on our website. We have been speaking with a few artists, too. Dan Marks and Catherine Reinhardt Hart joined us, too. And they will be two of the people that will be opening their studios, welcoming you. KHOI is part of the tours, as we said, and we're looking forward to meeting you here at our studios at 410 Douglas in Ames.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about the College of Human Sciences Week, which is happening starting Monday, October 12th to the 16th. We spoke with Dr. Pamela White, the Dean of the College of Human Sciences, and students from the college, Danielle Bursell and Kelsey Finn.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past shows online on our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you'll also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. That's khoifm.org, and you can like us on Facebook and get updates on our show postings in your news feeds.
Local Talk was engineered by Jonah DeGeest. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
And we also heard Happy Birthday performed by Johnny May. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. So if you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878 or through our website, khoifm.org.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening and see you again on the radio.
Sat in the corner, eating his cherry pie. I didn't put in a thumb, I didn't pull out a plum. I guess I'm not as straight as he. Whoa, whoa, give me, na na na, give me some. Na 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 na, give me, na na na, give me some. Na 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 na, give me, na na na, give me some cherry pie, na 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 na.
whoa, whoa, na, 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 cherry pie, na, 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 cherry pie, na, na, na.